So before we get started, because there's some people still coming back, I had a, so my wife played this trick on me, and I didn't realize it till like about an hour ago, and it's been over the last 2 weeks. I had some vacation and stuff like that, but she was saying to me, like, how come you always just say no? Like, every time the kids come, no. Can I? No. And so she's challenging me on that. Like, how come you always say, how can you just always say no? How come? And she did like 3 or 4 times in one day. And then later that night, so it's like 9:30, of course I'm thinking about it now, right? So if you haven't figured it out, I have ADHD and I'm all over the map. That's why I take some nice medicine in the morning, which I did take this morning. So imagine what I'd be like otherwise. But so she's like, she knows this though. She knows kind of when it cues out. And so it's like 8 o'clock at night. So you want to go on a hike with me tomorrow at 5 in the morning? Sure. Wait a second. I just said yes. So I got up at 4:10. Because we had to drive out to Abbotsford to do this hike. There's a group that she hikes with, and we did Ledgeview at 5 a.m. in the morning, right? So we're going up this hike, and I was somewhat in the back. They have their poles, and they're, like, giving her, and there's this whole group, like, way ahead of us. But we got up, in 33 minutes, we made it up there to the top. 32, sorry. Get to the top, and we're good to go, and then we come down. And I've been working on losing some of this, and kind of, I've been doing some, did a half marathon not that long ago, and I'm doing a triathlon coming up here. And so we do the hike, we get down, we go home, and I'm like, you know what? I just did a hike. It's 5 in the morning. This is the time to jump on the scale, right? Yeah. Anybody that's ever done this, you know what I'm talking about. It's not like after a big meal at the end of the day. You do it. So I jump on the scale and look down, and I'm like, no way. Jump off. Back on the scale. I lost 35 pounds since last April. That's pretty much what it said, right? I'm like, this is awesome. Check my email later that day. You've now been accepted into Lululemon Half Marathon. You've got 1 week to decide. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. So just so you know, in September, I have a triathlon on September 16th. And then on September 22nd, I'm doing a half marathon. And I'd like to be able to complain, but my wife's doing 25 kilometers next week, and then she's doing a half marathon, the same one with me. But that's, it's kind of like a new thing for me. And it's funny because I never liked running before. I love playing sports. I love doing all that. But running was kind of like, well, I mean, you don't usually see large men running for good reasons. And you know, I know I'm not dainty. I'm cool with that. And so I do draw attention when I'm in the half marathon and there's a lot of short people next to me going a lot faster than me, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun. So there you go. That's my... So I got the training program. I downloaded the thing, and it said this morning I was supposed to do yoga. So I had some yogurt. And then we came here. So I want to do the same thing I did last week. For those that weren't here, it might be something a little different for you. But I've got to spend a lot of time reading through Scripture and praying and praying and praying every time I get up to speak. A little bit of a disclosure for you. For those that have heard me before and even today, whenever I'm speaking of somebody's story, especially if it involves on the street, I'm never using their real name. So I use a name, but it's never the real one. So there's that little piece. And just so you know, on the flip side, when I speak to, on like tonight, when I'm speaking on Sunday night, I use stories from what would be kind of your middle class, non-street stories. And the whole point being is that all of us have way more in common than either we want to admit sometimes or than sometimes we realize. And we have a lot to learn from each other. I don't care what your situation in life is. We have a lot to learn from one another. And so as I'm sharing these stories, it's because God's put them on my heart for the scripture that we're going through. And I always want to respect those folks. And so sometimes there are little details that I will leave out, because it would identify them, because I know some of you work with them in different contexts, and also their name will always be changed, and vice versa. So what I'm going to ask you to do is just take a couple minutes right now and just pray up. When we walk in those doors, we all got stuff going on. And we could be up here or down here or somewhere in between. And I just want us to allow for this time to just leave that there. And we want to give this time to God. And so take a couple minutes and just you talk to him. And you can tell him where you're at if you want to. You can just lay everything at his feet for right now. You lay it at his feet for good. And then we'll get started in 2 minutes. So if you're following along, if you've got your Bibles or your devices with you. And by the way, I do know that on most devices, if you're holding it this way, you're probably reading scripture. If you're holding it this way and tilting, then you're playing a game. They used to have it, the Bible app didn't even work that way, but they've switched it now, so I can't use that line anymore. But it was, I got busted once or twice. So 1 John chapter 2, I write this, dear children, and I'm also reading from the Message, to guide you out of sin, but if anyone does sin, we have a priest friend in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, righteous Jesus. When he served as a sacrifice for our sins, he solved the sin problem for good. Not only ours, but the whole world's. Here's how we can be sure that we know God in the right way. Keep his commandments. If someone claims, I know him well, but doesn't keep his commandments, he's obviously a liar. His life doesn't match his words, but the one who keeps God's word is a person in whom we see God's mature love. This is the only way to be sure we're in God. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God might live the same kind of life that Jesus lived. My dear friends, I'm not writing anything new here. This is the oldest commandment in the book. You've known it from day one. It's always been implicit in the message you've heard. On the other hand, perhaps it is new, freshly minted, as it is both Christ and you. The darkness on its way out and the true light already blazing. Anyone who claims to live in God's light and hates a brother or sister is still in the dark. It's the person who loves a brother and sister who dwells in God's light and doesn't block the light from others. But whoever hates is still in the dark, stumbles around in the dark, doesn't know which end is up, blinded by the darkness. So it was actually about 3 years ago, right, when I started working for Ruth and Naomi's. And I met this young man, Bob. And he's an interesting dude. So he has some serious mental health issues. I've seen him when he's clean and he's on his meds, and even then he has this kind of, just kind of an annoying streak. He's just kind of annoying. And it's not, he comes up and he likes to push the little buttons over and over and over again, right? And I see him, and I've seen him in that, but he was tolerable. And I remember working with him and just thinking, man, this guy's just like, oh, it takes a whole lot to work with him. It just did. And as time would go on, he ended up relapsing fairly quickly. And when he's off of his meds and on the other meds that he takes, it's like he's living in an entirely different world. And I remember I'd seen him literally like the one day, and we had a conversation. He said, I'm going to go, I'm going to leave, I'm going to try to do this on my own. And I'm like, I don't think you're right there yet. He goes, no, I got this. And a week later, he came in, and I literally hadn't seen him between that time. And he's got a black eye, he's got cuts all over his face, he's just filthy. And he just comes in, I just need to take a shower. Can I take a shower? And we're like, yeah, it was kind of our off time. It wasn't our normal. And what was happening is he didn't want to be seen by the guys that beat him up. And if he came during our regular time, they probably would have been there. And so he was trying to get in kind of in the in-between. He knew when we were closed to the general public. And so we got him in, and we're like, man, you know, we want to, no, I got this. I can figure this out. And then it was about a month later, and I ran into him, and he was yelling on the street corner at somebody that wasn't actually there. And he was having these conversations and just screaming and shouting. And you could, it was one of those ones where I knew him well enough that he you could see and feel the hurt and the pain as you were listening to him. But so many were walking by laughing and pointing, honking. I heard somebody, you know, somebody took a picture and posted on Facebook, yeah, look at all the crackheads here, this is what's happening to Chilliwack. Chili crack, they called it. Put his picture online. A couple months after that, I walked into him and ran into him in the street, and he didn't even recognize me. And he was just gone. I was talking to him, and he's like, "Who? Oh, yeah, sure." You know when somebody acknowledges you, but you know they're not really acknowledging you? And about 6 months after that, he got some help. He got put into psych. He got cleaned up. He went back, and then he disappeared for about a year. And all of a sudden, he comes back on the street, and he's gained about 40 pounds. Looks healthy now. And he walks in, he just walks up and, "Hey, Corey, how's it going, man?" I'm like, "Hey, Bob, how you doing? You look amazing. You just look great." And we're having a conversation. And we went through the whole cycle again. And we've gone through the whole cycle again. And this morning, I'm driving in here. And we're going by 7-Eleven. So I live kind of by the high school, and we're coming up Williams, and I see these two guys running, and I'm like, those two guys don't run. I don't run, but they definitely don't run, and they're running. And so I go, we're gonna. And Charlie's in the car with me, and I'm like, in my head, I'm going, what are we gonna come up on around the corner? And I come up to the corner, and I peel around, and I see two guys like this, and one guy in the middle. And the guy in the middle was Bob. And he was like this. And you could see the fear, the fight or flight. And I'm like, well, I could just drive, head to church like we're planning on. But I didn't. So my engine actually revs pretty loud, I've discovered. So I whipped over, startled everybody. I'm like, Bob, run. Bob ran. And these two guys, he's crazy, man. I'm like, stop it. Just stop it. The crazy thing is they did. I don't even know where the stop it came from. Just stop it. It's like I was talking to my kids. And they just stopped. I think it was weirded everybody out. They just stopped, kind of froze, and Bob's running down the street. But then, of course, because he's Bob, starts beaking off. I'm like, Bob, shut up. And run. Just go. Here's the craziest part for you. Bob's a believer. Bob gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he fully believes that his sins are forgiven because of Jesus that died on the cross for us. He's been baptized. Goes to church when he can. But you see, the sin that he has, and the addiction that he has, and the things that he deals with, demon, so to speak, they're obvious. They're right in your face. He can't even hide from them. I've sat in the ER with him, and when he was needing to get attention, and he didn't make it to getting to the back room that time because he couldn't control himself, and I couldn't keep him calm, and I couldn't calm get him down, and his demon, it's just his stuff is just all out there, and he wears it. You know, when God talks in here about keeping his commandments, when I was growing up, my parents are amazing people. I went to a Lutheran school for the first kind of until about grade 8. And man, we were hammered with this passage over and over and over again in a very legalistic and like, well, you did that, you must not be walking well with God right now. Well, you did that, so now you must be. Well, you sinned here. Yeah, okay, thank you for pointing out all my failures and all my sin. To the point where I started doing it to myself. So even to this day, if somebody challenges me on that, it's like I had somebody, this was a few months ago, they got mad at me because I refused to let someone similar to Bob, it wasn't Bob, but I wasn't letting them in to get a meal. And the reason I did that was because they were a danger to themselves and to other people at that point. They were not in a phase. And what this person didn't know is I would have fully given them a meal later when everybody was gone. But at that time, if they came in, they were going to get into a fight or get hurt by somebody. And they told me, "You are so not like Christ. How do you call yourself a Christian, let alone a pastor?" That's what they said to me. And I was like, I actually didn't have much to say. But we have this thing where we have certain commandments that, you know, that we think are, that we judge each other by and that we look at and we take them and we take guys like Bob who are hard to deal with. And yes, sometimes they are annoying and they do things that we don't understand. He's one of the guys that will walk into the middle of the street while you're driving and not even realize he's walking in the middle of the street. I've pulled him out a couple times. And we'll be at the bus stop yelling at everybody and screaming. And I've also seen Bob. We had he's doing a little bit better, and this guy came in, and he'd been bear sprayed by somebody else. So he came in, ran into the mission. We went and got baby soap tried to clear his eyes out and all that. And all his clothes were covered. And so Bob has a backpack to his name. That's what he's got. Takes off his shirt, gives it to the guy, and then goes in and fishes his last shirt, which was really dirty. So he gave him the clean one, took the dirty one off and put it on himself. Because the guy needed a shirt. I've seen him hand a meal off when he was finished and couldn't eat anymore, and somebody else was still hungry, and he said, "Well, here, have the rest of mine." He's come and apologized to me the next day after an outburst. I think for us as believers, at least for myself, one of the things I've come to grips with the last few years is, one, do I really, really believe that my sins are forgiven? And that for anyone who follows Christ, their sins are forgiven? Do I really believe that? And do I really believe in an eternal life? Do I believe in a heaven where this mental health stuff is not there? Where the sin stuff that we struggle with is not there? Do I really believe that? And the biggest one, do I really believe that anybody, and I mean anybody, can be saved by my God through his Son, Jesus Christ? Do I really believe that? And I'll be fully honest in saying I struggle with that one. Not because I don't believe it's true, but because I believe it's true. The very thought that, and this is where he talks about hating your brother, and this is where I really think he's going. And I make it as a joke half the time, but I'm fully honest, is that we better start figuring out how to work with one another and get along with one another, because we have to spend eternity together. It's not like, okay, I really don't like that person. I mean, can you imagine all these church divisions that have happened over, I think it was like 15,000, 5,000, some weird, crazy number of denominations in the U.S. right now, in Canada. All these splits that have happened, they got to spend eternity together. And they're probably going to find out that whatever they split over, they were all wrong. Family members that we have issues with, people that we work with that we don't get along with, people that we go to church with that we don't really get along with. At the end of the day, we're all saved by the same God who loves all of us equally and conquered death for every one of us. Anyone who claims to live in God's light and hates a brother or sister is still in the dark. It's the person who loves brother and sister who dwells in God's light and doesn't block the light from others. But whoever hates is still in the dark, stumbles around in the dark, doesn't know which end is up, blinded by the darkness. I was 16, 17 years old, and I was working at a camp, Camp Furwood down in Bellingham. And there was this guy, his name was Daniel, and he, everything that I'm kind of gifted in, he was gifted in, except a little bit better. And he was also like, you know that thing where they say if you have these gifts, you need to put effort and practice and all that into it? He was really good at that. Me, not so much. I got distracted. I had other things to do and all that. So I will be completely honest and say I was jealous of him. And there was conflict in our relationship. We had to work together as CITs for the summer. And I just, if you asked me, I'd say, I don't like the guy. He's arrogant, he's cocky, he's all this stuff. He really wasn't. He was the nicest guy in the world, probably, really. He really was. He was an amazing musician and that. And then all of a sudden I remember my mom came and she took me to go do laundry for the day. And we come out of the laundromat and I see these ambulances going. And I looked at my mom and I said, they're going to camp. She's like, what do you mean? They go, I don't know why. Because there was a long way between. I go, they're going to camp. We got to get there right now. And we get in the car and drive over there. And we drive up and they have the entire road blocked off going down to the camp. And they were only letting us go in by foot. And we had to go kind of another way. And what had happened was a bunch of them were heading out for the day. It was our day off. And they all loaded into, it was like a VW Bug. And as they're going around the corner, they took it too tight and there were too many people in the car, and so it flipped over. And there just happened to be a little, kind of pond there. And it flipped over in the pond, and you couldn't see. And two of them were lifeguards. And they busted out the windows and they got out and they jumped in and they got everybody out, but his seatbelt stuck. He was the driver. And they finally got him, but it was too late. And he passed away. And I remember, you know, as a 16-year-old kid, and we're all dying. We've been working all summer together, and we're just like at the end of ourselves, right? And I'm like, of all the people, God, the one person I was not right with, was the one that died. And everybody knew that we weren't right with one another. And I'm going to give it up to divine intervention. But it was one of the most healing points in my life. His parents came we did a memorial service there at the camp. And because they were flying up to get their son's body and take him back to Arizona. And someone inside me said, "You got to go get forgiveness." So I walk up to this mom and dad who just lost their son. And I said, I wasn't right with your boy. Can you please forgive me? And I think they were shocked a little bit. But she just leaned over to me, gave me a big hug, and said, "Yeah, we forgive you." And she said, "We know he would have too. And we definitely know that God does." We don't have the time. We don't have the emotional energy. And we're not built to hate or to stay in the dark or to not forgive. God did not wire us that way. He never created us with that intention. And over and over and over in this book, he tries to take that burden from us and tells us to give it to him because he's the only one able to handle it. I believe that the only person that cries in heaven is God because he knows what's still going on down here. When somebody wrongs you, it's very hard. It's hard to not seek vengeance. It's hard to not go to want to hate them. It's hard to forgive. But I tell you, we have to. And what God can do with forgiveness is an amazing thing. And reconciliation. I remind you, my dear children, your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. You veterans were in on the ground floor and know the one who started all this. You newcomers have won a big victory over the evil one. And a second reminder, dear children, you know the Father from personal experience. You veterans know the one who started it all, and you newcomers, such vitality and strength. God's word is so steady in you. Your fellowship with God enables you to gain a victory over the evil one. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting, is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. I think we all have it hard, but you guys that are in the next generation, you got it harder than we had it. And your kids will have it harder than you have it. And it'll keep going. So let me encourage you to stay strong in your faith. Learn this book. so that this is not your parents' faith, but it's your faith. And be the generation that loves extravagantly. I would love 20 years from now to have the church be known as the place where you find love. Bible college is where you find marriage, but plug for CBC. There you go. But if this could be the place where people know they can go to be loved, to be cared for no matter what, to be able to stand outside and yell and scream at something that's not there, to come inside here and have a peace and know that God is here and his people are here. We all got a bit of crazy in us. We all know that. If you ever don't know that, just go look in the mirror. And if you do it for like more than 5 minutes, if you're like me, I can't stand in the mirror and just stare at it without making some kind of face. You know, maybe I'm getting my cheekbones a little better. Selfie face. Oh, sorry. Selfie face. Right about there. For those that are not that generation, so kind of my generation and above, here's my challenge to you and to myself. Pour into these guys and gals. Be praying for them. Be a support for them. Be a place where they can go. And I'm not just talking about your own kids. In fact, it'd probably be better for you if other people did that for your kids and you did that for someone else's. And be an example. I once had I was working at another church, not here in town. And I had this group that they came to me. This is, kid you not, true story. They came to me and they laid this book down in front of me. I'm like, okay. And they said they'd all kind of, there's this group that had been together for years and they're all kind of in their mid-60s, hitting that retirement age. And so they laid this book and they said, here you go. And I'm like, okay. And they said, we're done. I'm like, say what? Well, our time's done. We're all kind of retiring in the next few years. And so here's the book of all the stuff we've done for the last, how our this program runs and how greeting at the door and who does what. And so we're giving it to you because we're about to retire. So we're done. And so it was odd because here I was about 27, 28. And I'm like, I got something that's been put in my head right now. Is it from me or is it from God? Because if I say it and it's from me, this ain't going to end well. And if I say it and it's from God, it still might not end well, but at least I know I got his back backing. And so I went for it. And I said, you're not done. You still breathing? Yeah. You ain't done. It may shift. You might have something else that you're supposed to do right now, but you ain't done. None of y'all are done. If you're a believer, you're not done with ministry. You may not carry the title pastor, so what? There's an entire world out there that does not know God. There's so many people that are craving that relationship. And you know who God is, and you can point them there. You can't do God's job, but you do have a role in this. And so do I. I've had moments in the last few months where I thought, oh, I'm done. I'm done. I don't like the political side of things. I don't like some of the other stuff that goes on. I'm like, I'm just done. And again, God reminded me of what I said as this 28-year-old kid. Still breathing? Crap, yeah. So that's the challenge I'm going to leave you with today. No matter you're 5 years old, 1 year old, or 99, I don't think we have anybody over that. You ain't done. So what are you going to do about that? For God to love the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Since we'll be spending eternity together, why don't we figure out how to do this together here now and work forward?